Begin the current daf Masechet Yuma, daf Lamed Zayin. Begin 9 lines down for the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues discussing it, our previous Mishnah. And that is, we spoke about the continuation of the second phase of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, that's out of the 5, where he starts with the Big Day Zahav, and then he goes into the Big Day Lavan. So he said that by his power, he goes and he does, and he says Vidui. And when he says the Vidui, he says Ona Hashem, he says the Shem HaMefarish, he says Hashem's name. So then the Mishnah quoted Vehein Oy Nachrav, and the people answer after him, Baruch Shem Kvayd Machusay Lo'ilom Ved. So the Gemara explains and elaborates, Tanya, learn the Braisa. Rabbi says, the source for this halacha is a pasuk in Devarim that says, Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I recite the name of Hashem, Habu Goyde Lelikenu, you should bring greatness to our God, which Amar Lahem HaMoshe Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu said the following to Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish people. B'shosh Ani Maskir Shemoshe LaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the time when I mention Hashem's name, Atem Havu Goyde, you should bring greatness. That's what Baruch Shem, Baruch is always manifestation, greatness. That's what Gedul is, greatness. That's what they. That's why they said Baruch Shem Kaveh Nachos Olam Vaed when they heard the Shem Hashem. Another source, Chananya ben Achi, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, says a quote of a pasuk of Mishlei, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, when you remember a righteous person, it should be for blessing. Which the explanation was that Amalem Navli Yisrael, the prophet said to the Jewish people, B'shoshani Maskir Tzadik Olamim, at the time when I mentioned the righteous one of the world, in other words, a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zecher Tzadik, it should be Levracha Atem Tinu Bracha, you should give a blessing. That's the Baruch, should be the blessing of Shem Kaveh Machusay Lailam Ved, and that's the source why they would recite that at the time when they were here, the Shem HaMefayrish, the name of Hashem, recited by the Kohen Gadol, by his Vidui, on his power, on Yom Kippur. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, a continuation of that Avodah that he was doing from his power. So the last thing we had mentioned in the Mishnah was that he had, from two Mishnahs ago, that he had gone to the mikveh, immersed himself, he put on the white linen clothing. Then the previous Mishnah said, in other words, the one after that, the one that we just had before, was the one that then he would go ahead and do the vidui on his power, his bowl. Now our Mishnah continues on that and says, so after that, at that point, he was Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, as we said, between the antechamber and the Mizbeach, which is where he did his vidui, his smicha, on his power. Then Boloi L'Mizrach Hazar. Then he came to the eastern part of the courtyard. And that is, he went backwards. At this point, he was facing towards the Heichal. He was between the Ulam L'Mizbeach. Now he goes backwards towards the east, closer to the entryway of the Hazara. And that's because, which what the Avodah that they were going to do right now with the Seirim, the two he-goats that were very similar, they wouldn't take that inside the Azara itself, between the area and the Mizbeach, rather, which is to do the Garo, to do the lottery that we're going to discuss, rather they would take it just as long as it got into the ear space of the Azara, as the Pasuk says in Mikra Tezayin, V'hem Eroysim L'vnei Hashem, that these two Seirim should be in front of Hashem, which means to say it should be in the courtyard, but he wouldn't bring it so close to where he was when he was doing the Smicha and the Vidya on his Parv in Ulma Mizbeach, until it came time to slaughter it, then they would bring it closer, as the Mishnah tells us later on, Dafnun Gimel Beis, then they would bring the Sar, and then it would slaughter it, but for the purposes of what it was doing right now, which was they were doing the lottery, it would be all the way on the eastern part of the courtyard. So although up until now he was on between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, now he went to the eastern part. But Letzav and the Mizbeach still had to be on the northern part from the Mizbeach and northward. And that is, he had to be in that ear space. Because although, as we just mentioned, that this wasn't the time when they were slaughtering the sire, however, all the Meisim, all the activities related to this carbon and all the Kachim had to be in the northern area. And the Gemara will tell us later on that, and this will be a proof from this point, that any point of the Mizbeach, meaning eastward, so if you're going from the eastern wall of the Mizbeach towards the east, that is not, by default, part of the northern area, and that's why it had to be from the northern wall of the Mizbeach towards the northern wall of the courtyard. In that area, towards the east, that would be in the northern area, but again, it couldn't be eastward of the Mizbeach. It had to be from the northern part and eastward, because the Mizbeach itself was, none of it was in the northern part of the Hazar. So again, it had to be in the east and northward of the Mizbeach. Now, it tells us that Hasgan b'Minoy, the deputy Kohen Gadol, was to the right of the Kohen Gadol, V'Reish Beis'av Mismayli, and the head of the Beis'av was towards his left. V'Sham Shnei Seirim, and there were two he-goats. V'Kalpi Ha'isasham, and there was a box. Bosh Negarolis, and in the box there were two lots. Shalash Geroi Ha'yon, they were made out of boxwood. However, V'Asin Ben Gamla, but Yerushu Ben Gamla, when he was appointed to be the Kohen Gadol, he made them Shalzav out of gold. And the Chachamim remembered him praiseworthy. That was the praiseworthy thing to do, to make them out of gold. So now that we mentioned a concept of Zecher Tzadik Levracha, when we mentioned someone righteous for the Shvach that he did, so the Mishnah continues with others who we remember them for praiseworthy things that they did regarding the items in the Beis HaMikdash. So Ben Katan, who was a Kohen Gadol, also Yud Beis Dad, he made 12 spouts to be able to draw the water, Likir, from the Kir. Because originally there were only 2 spouts, but he made them into 12. Va'af hu asa muchni l'kir. Another thing he did that was helpful, he made a muchni for the kir, which again the kir was the keli that was what they would draw the water to be able to do the kiddush damrek line. And the Gemara explains what is this muchni that he made. He made a type of a wheel to submerge the kir into a pit, which then the waters of the kir were attached to the waters that were flowing there inside the ground. And the purpose of this muchni, shlo yiyu meimav nifsam b'lina, so that the waters of the kir should not become invalidated by being left overnight till the next day, because had it not been submerged, then it would become invalidated by being left overnight, which is the psul of lina. And the reason is because it became sanctified already in the kli sharis of the kir, and it's not honorable for kachim to become invalidated, although, okay, so go ahead and then draw more water, but it's not proper that it should be invalidated, and therefore he made this invention of this muchni, which would go down and submerge it, and therefore it was like attached to the water that was flowing underneath, and it didn't become invalidated as if it was left overnight. Another individual, Munbaz Hamelach, King Munbaz, he made all the handles of the vessels of Yom Kippur Shalzav made out of gold. Helni Ima, his mother Helin, she made a menorah made out of gold. Al Pesach Eichel, that was placed by the entryway to the sanctuary. Va'af, he also a tablet shalzav. She also made a tablet made out of gold. She parsha seita kesuvala, that the parsha of the woman, the suspected adulterous woman, that was written on it, which there was a certain parsha that had to be written, which was then put, it was dissolved into water, and then she had to drink that. Now, what they gained now by her making this tablet made out of gold with what had to be written, that now they didn't have to bring anymore a Sefer Torah to copy word for word to see what should be done. Now they already had this plaque there that whenever they needed, they could just look at that plaque. Another individual, Nikuner, who that was the name of this individual, Nasu Nisim Ladal Saisev, there were certain miracles that happened to his doors, and the Gemara will explain what were these specific miracles that happened to them. And they remembered all these individuals praiseworthy for the things that they did to make benefits for the items in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara deduces something from the beginning of our Mishnah. As the Gemara explains, Midika Amar Litzafin HaMizbeach, from the fact that it said that the lottery of this kalpi, which had these two lots, one written Lashem, one written Lazazel, because there were these two he-goats, and although they seemed identical, one had to go for Hashem, the other one had to go almost the opposite extreme to be thrown down the cliff of the mountain. Now it said that this took place, first of all, it was the eastern part of the courtyard, but it had to be from the end of the Mizbeach northward. So from the fact that we had to pull it from, it couldn't be opposite the Mizbeach, although on the eastern part of the Azara, it couldn't be opposite the Mizbeach, it had to be northern from the Mizbeach itself. So from that we could infer, Mechlal, the Mizbeach la Betzafenkai. So obviously the Mizbeach itself is not in the northern part of the Azara, and that is, no part of the Mizbeach is in the northern part of the Azara. Because if part of it would have been in the northern part of the Azara, then why do we say it has to be Da'afka, between the northern wall of the Mizbeach and the Azara? It could have been a little bit behind. It could have been a little side by side of the Mizbeach, because then it would still be on the east and it would still be on the northern part. Obviously, no part of the Mizbeach will reach to the half point of the Azara to be in the northern area. So therefore the Gemara asks, Mani, so who's this town of Amishnah that holds that no part of the Mizbeach was in the northern part, and that's why it had to be from beyond the end of the Mizbeach and between the northern wall of the Azara? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, telling like we're in the Braisa. It says a pasuk in Vayikra, and it's Perek Aleph pasuk et Aleph, that the beginning of the pasuk says, "V'shachatoy say ayalcha mizbeach," that you should slaughter. These are the kachi kachim by the side of the mizbeach. Tzafoin lefnei Hashem, what side of the mizbeach? Northernward, in front of Hashem, which the drasha is sheitzafoin kulei ponoy, that the northern part of the Azara should be totally empty. Divrei Blazman Yaakov, that's the opinion of Blazman Yaakov. That is because the extra hay tzafayna, which sounds like lit tzafen, whenever there's a head to end, it's like there's a lamed at the beginning, as if towards the north, which sounds like that the mizbech proper is not in the north. It's only by yerach towards the north, which makes it sound like that the mizbech will not be in the north at all, which means that the north is going to be empty and will not have any structure like the mizbech inside of it. And therefore you see that Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is the opinion of the Tan of our Mishnah, who hold that if you wanted to be in the northern part of the Azara, you had to be beyond the northern wall of the Mizbeach. Because if you were anywhere side by side, a parallel to the Mizbeach, you weren't in the northern part of the Azara. And since this is a Kachi Kachim, it had to have all Maisim in the Tzafin, including the lottery, therefore it had to be done beyond the northern wall of the Mizbeach. But that the Gemara asks, that's true that it sounds like that our Mishnah is going like that opinion. But v'horesha, but the beginning, in other words, the previous Mishnah, which is a continuation of this Mishnah, so it's considered like the first half of our Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, we concluded on the previous daf that the Mizbeach was proven to be, according to the first half of our Mishnah, in other words, the Mishnah before, that part of the Mizbeach was part of it in the northern part of the Azara. And that's why we said that the slaughtering of the par was kosher to be done between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Now, if it's between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, that means it's side by side with the Mizbeach, that we're saying part of the Mizbeach is in the northern part of the Azara. But we just said now that the next part of the Our Mishnah, which is Our Mishnah, the Seifa, so to speak, is saying clearly that none of the Mizbeach is in the northern part of the Azara. So how do we resolve that contradiction? How can we say that the first part of Our Mishnah is Reb Elazar ben Shimon, who is obviously saying that part of it is in the Tzafin Azara, where clearly Our Mishnah is saying that it's not? So that the Gemara answers, not like we had concluded on the previous daf. Kula, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, truthfully, both our Mishnah here and the previous Mishnah are like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, not like Reb Elazar ben Shimon, who had said that Ben Ulam Mizbeach, part of it will be in the northern part of the Azara. V'tni, and rather you should learn in the Reisha, in other words, the prior Mishnah, that where was the par, where was the bull of the Kohen Gadol actually standing? Bebein, and some have the Girsa Kibbein, Bebein hu Ulam Mizbeach, like between the Ulam, the antechamber, and the Mizbeach. And that is, truthfully, it was nearby between the area of the Ulam and the Mizbeach. But it was moved a little bit towards the northern part of the Mizbeach. And that is, it wasn't actually between the Ulam and Mizbeach. You brought as close you could to the entryway of the Heichal. And that's as we had concluded on the previous daf, because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol, we didn't want to make him carry this as far as he could. We want to make it as close as possible. But more than that, we couldn't make it closer, because if it would have been literally between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, it wouldn't have been anymore in the northern part of the Azara. And therefore, the Gemara is concluding from our Mishnah to explain the previous Mishnah that it wasn't literally between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, because none of the Mizbeach was in the northern part, and it had to be slaughtered in the northern part, the power of the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, it means it was like it was between, but it was a little bit to the corner of them, because it had to be beyond the end of the Mizbeach to be Mekayim, the halacha of Tzafayna, of the Tzafin, to be considered in the Tzafin of the Azara. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. So he said that the way they were standing, so we know where it took place, it was in the eastern part of the Azara and northern of the Mizbeach, as we just concluded, both for our Mishnah and the previous Mishnah, that none of the Mizbeach was in the Tzafin Azara, and it had to take place in the Tzafin. And then we said, Haskan b'minay, so the deputy was to the right of the Kohen Gadol, v'reish beis av b'smail, and the head of the beis av, and that is every single day there was a different family that would be part of the Mishmar, that each day was a different beis av. So the head of the beis av was to the left of the Kohen Gadol. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings the following halacha, and we'll ask on it from this halacha that we just quoted of our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ha'mahalach li min rabbi, if someone's walking to the right of his teacher, ha'rezabur, so he's an ignoramus, he's a boor, that is, he's not even proficient in halachas of derech eretz, of proper conduct, because you shouldn't be walking side by side on the right of your Rebbe. So on this halacha, the Gemara asks from our Mishnah, it's now we learn, our Mishnah, hasgan b'minoi, the deputy is to the right of the Kohen Gadol, v'reish beis av b'smaili, and the head of the beis av is to his left. So if you just said that it's not proper to be walking by the right, so how was the scan to the right? V'aytanya, another question is that we learned in the Braisa, if there were three people walking together on the road, so they shouldn't walk one behind the other. Rather, they should walk in one row. Now, how should they be walking? So, harav be'emtza, the teacher should be in the middle. Gadol b'minei, the greater one of the students, should be to the right. V'kat m'smaili, and the lesser of them should be to his left. Again, the question that you see that you could be walking to the right of your Rebbe. So do we find by the three ministering angels, Shabo Itz Avram, that they came to Avram Avinu, as it says in the Pasuk in Bereshis Yotches, it says in the Pasuk, Shleisha Anoshim Nitzav Malav. There were three men standing on him, in other words, in front of Avram Avinu. Now, from there you could infer that they were side by side, and not one behind the other. Because had they been one behind the other, that wouldn't be considered that three of them are Nitzav Malav, only the first one be Nitzav Malav. So obviously they were side by side. Now, what was that order? Michal b'yamtza, the Malach Michal was in the middle. Gavriel b'minoi, the Malach Gavriel was to the right of Michal. And Rafal b'smaila, and Rafal was to the left. So again, you see that although Michal was the greatest, he was, so to speak, like the Rebbe, Gavriel was able to be to his right. And therefore, not a boor. So how do we understand the halacha that was taught from Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gumar of Shmuel bar Papa Kamed Rav Ada, so he translated all these questions that we asked on the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, that we see that there were those who went to the right of the Rebbe, it didn't mean that they went side by side. Because as Rabbi Yehuda said, that's a boor, that's improper to do. Rather, it means that they were behind the great one that was in the middle. And that it's Kadesh Yiskasu Bei Rabbi, so that the teacher should be flanked, should be like covered from his students behind him. And that is, however, the greater one goes to the right, and the lesser one goes to the left. But however, what we're talking about is they were actually behind their Rebbe. So the same thing would go with the Malachim, and same thing would be regarding three people going on the Derech, and the same thing would be regarding the Kohen Gadol. When we had that the Skan was to his right, it didn't mean literally side by side, because that's improper to be right to his right. It meant to his right, but behind him. By that, the Gemara asks, but time to learn Abraisa, Hamahalach Keneged Rabbi Harezabur. So that halacha, it seems to be agreeing with the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, that if someone goes side by side with his Rebbe, he's a bur. But it says, Achayri Rabbi Harezamagasei Ruach. If someone goes behind his teacher, he's considered arrogant. So how can we translate that when we find these other sources that they went to the side of the greater one, that yes, it couldn't be side by side like Rabbi Yehuda said, and as we just brought a Braisa, because that's considered a boor. So he said it means that they were actually behind him, but the Braisa says clearly behind is also problematic because that's considered arrogant. And that the Gemara concludes, the mitzadid atzdude. It means that they're like on the corner of the great one, of the Rebbe. And that is not side by side literally and not behind literally. Rather that he should be flanked almost in the formation of like a triangle. And that they're by the corners of the Rebbe. So you have this one in the corner on the right side and one in the corner on the left side. So therefore you're neither side by side to be considered a boor and you're not behind to be considered arrogant either. And that was the format, how it was in Beis HaMikdash 2 by the Kohen Gadol and Kippurim. He was in the middle and the same triangle format was the Skan was on his right and the Reish Beis Av was to his left. Now the Mishnah told us that the Kalfi Hayis Hashem, there was a box over there, Uvosh Negarolis, and there were two lots inside the box. So the Gemara explains by quoting a Braisa. Turn by and learn the Braisa. There's a pasuk in Vayikra that says, "V'nosen aharon al shnei asirim gerolis," that aharon should put on the two he-goats these lots. Now the Braisa explains. First of all, gerolis shall call David. The lots were able to be made out of anything. Now, yochel yitein shnayim al zeh v'shnayim al zeh. You would think if you just had the first half of the pasuk that you would put two lots of Lashem on one and two lots of Azazel on another one. And what the Pasuk was saying is that you should put on each one of the two Geirolos, like the Pasuk says. Now, Geirolos is plural, so that would be at least two. So each one would have two different lots, so two of Lashem and two of Lazazel, and that's how the lottery would work. Tamalayim, so that's what the Pasuk teaches at the end of the Pasuk. Geirol Echad Lashem, the Geirol Echad Lazazel. No, only one lot that's written for Hashem, and only one lot written for Azazel, and that it was only one written that said Lashem on it, and that was put on one of them, and only one of them said Lazazel on it, and that was put on it, so there wasn't four, but only two, one Lashem and one Lazazel. As the Gemara says, Ein kan Lashem ele Geirol Echad, ve'ein kan Lazazel Echad. Fine. However, Yachal Yitin Shalshem v'shal Azazel Azeh, so okay, we know there's no four having two of each one, there's only two, one of each one. But you would still think that you would put the one of Lashem and the one of Lazazel on this animal, v'shalshem v'shalazazel azeh, and then put one of Lashem and one of Lazazel on that one too. In other words, because the Braisa is struggling with the term gerolis. It says lots in the plural. As it says, v'nasan, that he should place Aharon Lashem gerolis. So it sounds like that you should put the two gerolis on each one of them. And then after you put Lashem and Lazazel on this one, Lashem and Lazazel on this one, then you could choose which one you want to make Lashem. But you would think that you should put each one on each one of the animals. Tamalema, that's the Pasuk teaches again, Geirol Echad Lashem. No, there's only one Geirol Lashem. In other words, like Rashi explains, If it said Gadol Hashem, I would have known that it's only one, because it's saying in the singular. Why does it say Echad? To make this drush, to say only Gadol Echad Hashem, Ein Kan Hashem Ela Echad. The one that's for Hashem only gets one lot, Ve'en Kan Azazel Ela Echad, and the one for Azazel is only gets one. So then the Braisa concludes with the question that was driving it the whole time. Im Kain, so then the question is, Matam Alem Garolais. What is the understanding of this plural term in the Pasuk that Aaron should put on the two Seirim Garolais? So we said that maybe that means that there should be two of each, or each one should be placed on both. What's the plural? Do we have to tell you 1 plus 1 is 2? We know there's 2, because each one is 1. So that the Braisa finally answers, Shiyu Shavin. It was saying Gairolais to say that they're similar, that they're the same. And that's why I put it in the plural to compare the two of them. Shlo Yas Echad Shal Zav, Ve'echad Shal Kesef, not to make one out of gold and the other one out of silver. Echad Gadol Ve'echad Katan, to make one out of gold and to make one larger and one smaller. Now the Gemara explains the Braisa. So the Braisa told us that Gairolais Shal Kol Davar, that the lotteries, the lots could be made out of any material. So I'm not thinking about Peshitta, it's obvious. The Pasuk doesn't tell us that it has to be made out of anything. Why would we think otherwise? I think my answer is, Loi Tzricha L'Kedetanya. We would have thought, as it says in the following Braisa, L'fisha Mitzinu B'tzitz Shashem Kasav Alav, because just like we find by the plate that's worn on the forehead of the Kayin Gadol, that has the name of Hashem written on it, B'hu Shal Zav, and we know it has to be made out of gold, Yochalav Zekin, you would think this lottery, this lot, this gold that has the name of Hashem written on it, that it should also require to be made out of gold. Tamalayma Gairul Gairul Reba. That's why it says the word Gairul twice, to be inclusionary, to say that Reba Shal Zayis, it includes even if the lot's made out of olive wood, Reba Shal Egois includes even nut wood, and Reba Shal Ashkaraya, and even if it's made out of boxwood, like our Mishnah said, how originally it was made out of it. Our Mishnah said, and one of the people that were mentioned favorably, the Mishnah says, Ben Katan, who was a Kohen Gadol, Sa'asa Shnayim Asr Dad Likir B'chulei. He made 12 spouts for the Kir. So the Gemara explains in the Braisa the reason for this. Tana, we learned, Kedei Shiyu Shnayim Asr Achav HaKahanim, so that the 12 Kahanim, Ha'asukim B'tamah, that are all getting parts of the Karman Tamah, as we mentioned on the previous staff, that the purpose of this kir, which was to do Kiddush Demeglayim before the person is doing the Avodah. Now the Tamid Shel Shachar, besides the Sheichet, who did not require Kiddush Demeglayim, had 12 people that were partaking of that Avodah. So that all the people that are doing the Avodah in the Karban Tamid could be Mekatchin Demeglayim of Asachas, that they could sanctify their hands and their feet at the same time, and that they don't have to wait one after another because there's only two spouts. Tana, we learned the Braisa, that these two spouts were for a reason of one was on top of the other, that Shachris b'miluye, in the morning when the kir was full, semikadosh yodav ragv min elyon, then he would sanctify his hands and feet from the upper spout. Arvis b'yodasay, at evening when the kir was already down to the bottom because it had been used all day, then mikadosh yodav ragv min tachlin, and then he would sanctify his hands and feet from the lower one. That why originally it had two spouts, but then Ben Katan ultimately ended up making 12 spouts, again so the older kahanim with the carbon tumen can do it at the same time. Now the Mishnah said that Va'afu Asa Muchni Likir B'chulu. Ben Katan also, another thing he did that was beneficiary for the Beis Hamikdash, was that he made a Muchni for the Kir. So the Gemara asks, my Muchni, what is this Muchni that he made for the Kir? So Mabaya Gilgola, it was a wheel to have a Mishakole that was used to submerge the Kir into the water that ran underneath the Beis HaMikdash. And as we had explained already, so that there shouldn't be any psulina by having it above ground, invalidated, not have being used up from the night before, and that's not proper. Therefore, by submerging it, it's like part of the water that's flowing over there, which has not become pasul in the psul of lina. Now, another individual that was remembered praiseworthy, the Mishnah said, Munbaz HaMelech, Asar Kol Yodas HaKelim Achulu, he made all the handles of the vessels on Yom Kippurim made out of gold. So the Gemara asks, Navdinu liditu, why didn't he make the vessels themselves dissolve out of gold? Once he's doing such a great thing, why did he make only the handles, not the vessels themselves that were being used on Yom Kippur made out of gold? So the Gemara continues in Amud Beis, Amabaya, Bidoy Sakinin. You're right. He would possibly have done it, but what we're talking about over here were knives, the handles of knives, where the knives themselves cannot be made out of gold because it wouldn't function properly. Therefore, those items, that's what he meant. He made those handles out of gold because the item itself could not have been gold. But on that, the Gemara asked Meisve, but we learned in the Braisa that it says, Afu Asa Kane Kalim. He also made the bases of where the vessel sits on. V'oigne Kalim, and also the place where you grab onto the vessel. V'yodis Kalim, and the handles of vessels. V'yodis Sakinan, and the handles of the knives. He made them shalzav out of gold. Now, this contradicts the answer we just gave of Abaya, because he said, oh, what did it mean, the handles of the vessels? It meant those kalim were a reference to knives, and those couldn't be made out of gold. But here clearly it says both knives and vessels. So obviously when it says vessels, it's not referring to knives. So then again, the question returns, so why didn't he make the actual vessels themselves out of gold? So Targum Abaya translated, he defined, what does it mean, kalim? It's things that are similar to knives, again, that also couldn't be made out of gold, which are bakatoso dinarge vechatzine. They are the handles of these hatchets and of these sickles that, again, also couldn't be made out of gold. It's the same category as what Abayan answered regarding the knives. Yes, there was knives and kalim, but the kalim were in the same thing, that you couldn't make the actual item out of gold, and therefore he made those handles out of gold. Then the Mishnah said that Hilni Imoy, his mother Hilni, she made Asa Nevresha Shalzav B'chulu. She made the candelabra, a menorah, out of gold. And then that would shine in the morning. So the Gemara quotes a brisa that elaborates on this. Time to learn the brisa. B'shosha chama zerachas, at the time when the sun would be rising in the east, then nitzaitzis, which literally means like sparks, but it means like this like glow that from the sun that would be shining from the east, which would be shining down on the heichal by the sanctuary, which is where the menorah was, by that entrance towards the west. So it would be these sparks that would be yotzim, and they would be coming out of the menorah, which means the shine of the moon of the sun from the east would be shining down right when it's coming up on the entryway of the heichal, and the menorah was there. It would be shining. So at that moment, v'hakol yodin, everyone knew shegizma kriyat shema, that it became time to recite the kriyat shema. As the Braisa tells us in Masechtas Brachas Nafchavav Mer Aleph, that the mitzvah, like a tchila, to say kriyat shema is in the beginning, right before the netzachama, when the sun is rising. So therefore, when it started rising and they saw the shine, they said, oh, let's say kriyat shema. That was what was significant with this menorah that Hilni made, which shined by the Pesach HaHechel. And this the Gemara asked, Meisvei, but we learned in another Braisa, that says Hakari Shema Shacharis im Anshei Mishmar v'Anshei Ma'amid. If someone recites Kriya Shema in the morning, either together with the people of the Mishmar or the people of the Ma'amid, Lo Yotzi is not Yotzi, as the Braisa explains. Nisha Anshei Mishmar, because the people of the Mishmar, that's a reference to the Kahanim, which they were made out of 24 Mishmaris, and therefore they're called the people of the Mishmar of the Watch, where the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is incumbent upon them. And the reason is that they were mashkimin, they got up extra early, and they would be early in their recitation of the Kriya Shema, because maybe the Avodah would take them a long time, and they would end up not being able to say the Kriya Shema in the time when it's supposed to be. So they would say it before the Zman of Kriya Shema. Now, V'anshei Ma'amid, the reason why you won't fulfill your chiv if you say it together with the people of the Ma'amid. Now, who are the people of the Ma'amid? Those are non-Kehanim, people from the Jewish people, Yisraelim, that they would be the messengers. They would be in the place of the tzibur, that to stand on the carbon, like a pasuk in Bamidbar Chavches actually tells us, tishmeru lahakavli, you should safeguard it to bring it close to me as a carbon, that there's a mitzvah that the Yisraelim, the owners, who these are the shluchim of the Jewish people as the owners, because the karbanos are brought from the whole Jewish people, that they safeguard and they stand there by the carbon as it's brought in Sefri and Masechtas Tainus of Chavav Mer Aleph. So the reason why if one would say Kriya Shema with the people, the Ma'amid, they wouldn't fulfill it, because they are Ma'achrim. They say Kriya Shema too late. And that is because they wait until the Vaida of the Talmud is over, and that could be later after the Zman of Kriya Shema. So therefore, again, if one recites Kriya Shema with the Kehanim, or the Yisraelim that are in the Beis HaMikdash, which the Kehanim are called Anshei Mishmar, and the Yisraelim are called the Anshei Ma'amid, with neither one fulfills the Zechiv of Kriya Shema, because the Kehanim do it before the Zman, and the Anshei Ma'amid, the Yisraelim, do it after the Zman. Now, that contradicts what we just said, that everyone knew to say Kriya Shema when the sun would be shining off the menorah, which was by Netzach Hamah. Now, who is that sign for? The Kahanim would say it before the Zman, and the Yisraelim that were there would say it after the Zman. So who is it for that would know to say Kriya Shema in the proper time? So Abaya said, it meant L'shar Amah de Yerushalayim, meant for the other people of Yerushalayim. In other words, people that weren't part of the Maimon or weren't the Gan that would come to the courtyard, it would be a sign for them to know that this is the time for them to say Kriya Shema, because they're not like the Anshei Maimon and the Anshei Mishmar, and that's who was signaled by the shine of the menorah, by the Netzach Hamah. Now the Mishnah tells us that the Afhi Asa Tavla, she was also praised as Hilni, the mother of King Munbaz, that she made this tablet made out of gold, which had the parsha of Saita written on it, which they had to then, the scribes had to write down, the Kehanim that were scribes, to write it down in this Megillah and have it erased by the water, and then the Saita would drink this cup. Now, shamet minah, so the Gemara says that what we can infer from our Mishnah is that kaisvin megillah latinik leslamidba, that one could write a parchment, a scroll for a child, which would take, let's say, only part of a something that's written in the Torah, that a child could learn from it, and that is a machlokes and a sechtes gittin, perek and nizakin of samach aman alf. If one is actually allowed to do that, you're allowed to just take a parsha of the Torah and write it on the Megillah for a child to learn from. So from our Mishnah, it seems to be like that man da'amah that one is allowed to, because you see they took just this parsha and wrote it on this tablet to have over there in the Beis HaMikdash. On that, Amr Shlokesh and Meshum Rebiyani says, no, it's not a raya, because they didn't actually write the whole parsha of the Megillah Saita, which is written in the Torah, on this tablet. Rather, they wrote it be aleph beis. In other words, they made the Rashi Tevis, the first letter of each word would be written over there. And therefore, for example, if let's say it says in the parasha of Ve'im Loi Satis, so they took the Vav, then the Lama, then the Sin, and that was Ve'im Loi Satis, but they didn't actually write the words, and therefore it's not a riot to that Yolado, because they didn't actually write it, they just wrote it in the abbreviated form. That the Gemara asked, but Meisir learned another Raisa that says, Kushu Kaisiv, when the Kohen who's writing the Megillah for the Saita, for her to drink from it, after it's dissolved in the water, so it says that he would be roya v'chaysev mashakas of a tablet. He would look and he would write what he sees on the tablet. So you see clearly that the words were written, because he would be writing and looking and writing, and you see that the words were there. And that the Gemara says, no. Ema roya v'chaysev kemashakas of a tablet. He would look and write as similar to what was written in the tablet. In other words, according to the abbreviated form by the Rashi Tevis, he would look and write, so he got it right, but it wasn't actually the words themselves, it was just the Rashi Tevis over there. But that the Gemara continued to ask, but Meisir learned another braisa that says Kushu Kaisa, when he would write, Raya v'chaisa mashakasa b'tavla, so but that's the same as the previous braisa, he would look and write what he saw in the tablet. But this braisa adds more and says, Umakasa b'tavla, now what was written on this tablet that he would be looking and writing? It says in the Pasuk of Bamidbar, and this is what was written on the tablet, Im shachav ish oisach, if a man has slept with you, and then the Pasuk continues, Vim loy shachav, or if a man has not slept with you, then the Pasuk continues, Im satis, if you have strayed, and the Pasuk continues, Im loy satis, if you didn't stray. So you see that these words were written. So you see that it wasn't just the letters of the aleph beis of the first letter of each word, but these actual phrases were written there. So you see that it was written, the whole thing, and therefore it would be a rai that you are allowed to write a Megillah for a child to learn from, because the whole thing was written. Nothing more says no. It's still not a raya, because Hasam there on the tablet that was this golden tablet that was written over there that Hilni had made. So we continue on top of Lam Chesam and Aleph was Bisirugin. It alternated, and that is, it first wrote Im Loy Shachav. Then the words after that were written in Rashi Teva form until the end of the pasuk. Then again it said, as the Brisa said, just these words Va'at Ki Satis. Then afterwards it had the Rashi Tevas until the end of the pasuk. And then again it said Yitna Hashem Oisach. Then afterwards had the Rosh HaTevis until the end of the Pasuk. Then had Uvo HaMayim. Then again till the end of Rosh HaTevis. And therefore, it's not a Raya, because the whole entire Parsha that was there in the Torah was not totally transplanted onto this tablet to say that you're allowed to write just part of the Sefer Torah for a child to learn from. Because here it wasn't the whole Parsha that was written. You write, as the Brisa says, some words of the Pesukim were written, but that was only part of it. And then the rest was Rosh HaTevis, and that's what I mean. Besirugin alternated, had words, Rosh HaTevis, words, Rosh HaTevis, and again, therefore, it's no raya, not like that, man da'amr, Masechet Gittin.